You're listening to KUOW 94.9 Seattle News and Information. I'm Bill Radke. What can President Trump's opponents learn from the Tea Party? There's a group on the political left that, among other things, has been organizing protests at town hall meetings that members of Congress hold. Sometimes those Congress members don't hold town hall meetings because they don't want to face the agitators. This group is called Indivisible. Its board members have said they're emulating what the conservative Tea Party organizers did in 2009 when they opposed President Obama's policies. In our studio now, we have the group's executive director, Ezra Levin. Hi, Ezra.
Hey, great to be here.
And someone I believe you know. On the phone is Tea Party organizer, executive director of the Tea Party Express, Taylor Butterwich. Hi, Taylor.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Ezra.
Hey, Taylor. Great to hear you again.
Yes, definitely.
Ezra's on your mailing list, I understand, Taylor.
I think that's right.
we're BFFs at this point.
You're BFFs. First of all, Ezra, with the progressive group Indivisible, what about the Tea Party are you emulating?
Yeah, so Indivisible Project is very explicitly inspired by key components of the Tea Party. We put out a Google Doc all of 10 weeks ago that said that, look, we disagreed with the Tea Party's ideology. We didn't like their policies. But we thought they got strategies really right, and they implemented those strategies with smart civics 101 tactics. So that is a local defensive congressional advocacy strategy that we think can be really effective right now for the progressive movement.
What do you mean defensive?
It means that right now, and it's a hard truth, progressives do not have the House, the Senate, or the presidency. That means we lack the agenda-setting power. Instead, what we have is the power to respond. The Tea Party got that. In 2009, they didn't have the House, the Senate, or the presidency, but they knew how to respond to the agenda coming down from President Obama and Congress. So we think that that is a smart move, and not just because it's strategically important. As a former congressional staffer, I think that's a good strategic play, but I actually think we have a moral responsibility right now because this president and this Congress is attacking the most vulnerable members of society.
One more question for you before we go to Taylor. Ezra Levin with the Indivisible Project, the chair of the Washington State Republican Party says that you are bullying lawmakers into backing off from the policies that President Trump and the Republicans are advocating. You're going to town halls, you're shouting people down, you're bullying.
Yeah. It's funny here because I'm not doing anything. There are 233 Indivisible groups in Washington state, and these are made up of school teachers and nurses and folks with everyday jobs. And you know what they have in common? They're concerned about the state of the country and where we're headed. So they are standing up, they are getting civically engaged. Some of them aren't even Democrats. Some of them are independents or Republicans who are also scared about the direction the country is headed. And so what they're doing is they're going to town halls or they're going to public events and they're making their voices heard. So if a member of Congress doesn't like that, they should get a new job because representing your constituents is part of the job description.
As I said, on the phone is the head of the Tea Party Express, Taylor Butterwich. Taylor, how well is Indivisible copying your Tea Party playbook?
Well, I think they're definitely getting the protests, the rallies, the town halls right. But that wasn't invented by the Tea Party movement. So campaign tactics like that have been around for decades. The difference between the Tea Party, and I would even say the Tea Party didn't even exceed at stopping the Obama's legislation, at least in the first 2 years. But the difference was, and what I don't think the movement on the left has understood yet, is what we finally figured out was in order to change the policies, you have to change the players. And that's why we engage directly in elections. For instance, we were protesting in 2009 prior to Obamacare being passed in December of 2009 on Christmas Eve. We didn't stop that from happening. It wasn't until actually yesterday that we've had a viable path to repealing and replacing Obamacare. But we achieved that by having historical electoral success at the ballot box. And like Ezra pointed out, having control of both chambers of Congress and the White House is definitely an important key to realizing policy changes.
So you've got the Affordable Care Act now. Repeal and replace is happening. How much does President Trump align with your Tea Party goals?
Well, I think right now, and what we've seen, I was very excited by the speech he gave on Tuesday night, like a lot, like 70 or 80% of Americans, according to the CNN and CBS poll, were very excited about what he said on Tuesday night. We're in desperate need, and he's right on the line of reining in government addressing the economic growth, which has been stagnant in the past 8 years, and tackling the big ticket issues that I think the Tea Party movement has championed over the past 8 years or so.
Okay, Ezra, you heard the key difference, according to Taylor from the Tea Party Express, is they focused on elections, 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 changing the people, the players. What's the evidence that's happening on your side?
Yeah, so, I mean, I totally take Taylor's point, and I think that's a key strategy as well. That's not where they started. And I think he's absolutely right. The Tea Party didn't succeed all the time. Obamacare passed. Dodd-Frank passed. Stimulus package passed. But they were still able to slow down the mechanics of government and in some cases defeat key components of the agenda. That's step one, and that's important on its own. So defeating the repeal of Obamacare for this movement is important on its own because 32 million Americans are going to lose their health insurance with that. But I also think Taylor is right, that that's not the only way to affect policy change. And a key other step is, what are you going to do electorally? How are you going to change the people making decisions? I would tell you, look at Georgia 6. That's an election coming up, an open election for Congress in a congressional district that Trump won by 1%. I think we should all pay attention to that.
How are you different from the Tea Party, Ezra? At Indivisible Project.
Well, so I think we're different in that we model progressive values, that we believe that you should form an inclusive group, and that we believe that government can be a force for good in the country. But I would also say, as a movement, it is larger, it is faster, it is better organized than the Tea Party ever was. You saw just in the day after President Trump's inauguration, enormous protests nationwide. And today we have over 6,000 groups that have registered across the country, two in every single congressional district in the country. At this time in President Obama's presidency, the Tea Party was a blip. It hadn't actually come together yet. So I have just been inspired by how this movement has caught fire over the last several weeks.
Ezra Levin with the progressive group of the Indivisible Project. Yes.
And can I just say, we have an event tonight.
Oh, yes. Town Hall Seattle.
6:30 p.m. tonight, Town Hall Seattle. It's free if you're a student, $5 if you want to get in. And that doesn't go to me. That goes to a local immigrant rights organization.
And on the phone with us on KUOW, Executive Director of the Tea Party Express, Taylor Butterwich. Ezra just called your group, by implication, not inclusive, not a force for good, and by the way, not that well organized.
Yeah, I think Ezra actually hit on the main difference between the Tea Party and his movement, or the movement that he's a part of, and that's, we didn't have the support of the party infrastructure. We were much different than the Republican Party, it was voters that weren't feeling like they were being represented, and so that was the difference, and we haven't seen that. So, and we look back, you know, the question's been asked of, what tactics should the left use and emulate from the right? But what's being missed in that, and the inherent bias, is that the Tea Party was successful because of the issues it espoused, that it had a broad support across the country. By kind of doubling down on the same rhetoric and same policies of the past administration and the party that is being represented in the Democratic Party, I don't see how you can have electoral success, given that it's failed so historically, election cycle after election cycle, for the past 8 years. So there has to be a differentiation between what is the Democratic Party and what is this movement, because right now it looks one and the same, and that's a losing proposition.
Ezra, is the Indivisible Project just the Democratic Party?
Yeah, so absolutely not. And it's something I really respect about the early Tea Party, at least, that they kept at arm's length away the RNC, the Republican Party. I think that was smart.
Where do you disagree with the Democratic Party?
Oh, well, so, I mean, we think, for instance, 15 Democrats voted for Mike Pompeo for CIA director, a man who endorses widespread surveillance of Americans, who slanders Muslim Americans, who's open to torture. We definitely disagree with that. What we saw from the movement was people outside of Dianne Feinstein's office in California, or Chuck Schumer's office in Manhattan, or Amy Klobuchar's office in Minneapolis, saying, why are you voting for this nominee? 2 weeks later, zero Democrats voted for Betsy DeVos, the nominee for education secretary. And it's not because Betsy DeVos is so much worse than Mike Pompeo was. She's bad, but don't get me wrong. She doesn't endorse torture, as far as I know. The difference was, in those 2 weeks, people made their voices heard through this movement, through the movement of the resistance on the ground. That's part of the game plan. And I will say the Tea Party did that pretty well on the Republican side. We are not an arm of the Democratic Party. We view ourselves as something distinct.
Taylor, does that sound like as big a split between Indivisible and the Democrats as you were facing with the Republicans?
Well, if Ezra's correct in that analysis, then they're going to have a primary challenge up in Montana against John Tester, who supports the Keystone XL pipeline, or Joe Donnelly in Indiana, or Joe Manchin in West Virginia, who's been palling around with President Trump, who they disagree so strongly with. So if that's true, then we're going to be seeing a lot of Democratic primaries. But I don't see how their issue matrix as it stands right now will be successful in Montana, West Virginia, or Indiana, or in Kansas 4, where the Pompeo district that he just referenced. And so, you know, I understand where he's coming from, but it's going to be hard to replicate the Tea Party's success electorally with ideas and progressive policies that are so far out of the mainstream.
Let's talk about a local member of Congress, Dave Reichert. Mm-hmm. Was it fair to say you're targeting him?
Well, I'm not doing anything. I can't talk about what his constituents are doing. I will say that he sits on the Ways and Means Committee in the House of Representatives. The Ways and Means Committee, which is the Tax Writing Committee, has the unilateral ability to get Trump's tax returns. Now, I don't know if Trump is engaging in a cover-up with respect to Russia or his business company.
He told us you can't call on an individual's tax returns.
That is so interesting because, in fact, there is a 93-year-old bill that gives him exactly that ability to do, to rein in conflicts of interest. In the executive branch, it was used on a sitting president, President Trump, and it was used by Republicans 2.5 years ago to get the tax information of 51 organizations that they released publicly. He has that ability. He is what's standing between us and Trump's tax returns, along with his Republican colleagues.
That's Western Washington, mostly Western, Republican Congressman Dave Reichert. Finally, before we close, I'll ask each of you about a presidential candidate. Who's your ideal indivisible presidential candidate? So, and would it be the same as the Democrats are going to nominate?
Well, so we stand for resisting the Trump agenda in all its forms and its attack on not just progressive values, but on basic tenets of American democracy. So we're fighting the battles now around legislation. Electoral is often in the future.
Okay. 1 minute left. Taylor, what suggestion do you have for Ezra, your progressive colleague, your BFF, as you say?
Well, I think you need to answer your question. I think that's like a key component because I don't know what the indivisible movement stands for other than being against Trump. And that's a key difference between what the Tea Party movement did is we were against the President Obama's agenda, but also we had an agenda of our own that we were willing to articulate. And I would have been willing to answer your question this time.
Ezra. Yes. Ezra, we're out of time. I know that, Taylor, we're out of time. Ezra would love to answer that. That's Taylor Butterwich from the Tea Party Express.
I'll look for a tweet from him.
Yes. You got 5 seconds.
We stand for protection of the old, the sick, the young, the poor, the immigrants, the Muslims, the people who are under attack.
Ezra Levin,
administration.
Thank you for that. Town Hall, Seattle, 6:30
p.m.
Ezra Levin, Indivisible Project. Thanks.